This morning, let's turn to Joshua chapter 4, or chapter 3, rather, verse 1 through 5. Our text is in verse 4. Joshua 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove, and they came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, Now when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And so the children of Israel have come to the end of the wilderness journey. Moses has gone up into the mountains, and he has died. And now God commands Joshua to lead the children of Israel, and they are brought to the bank of the Jordan River. This is the end of the wilderness journey. On the other side, they're beginning an entirely new experience. They're going to begin to conquer the land that God had promised to Abraham. They're really at the crossroads for the nation. They're at a real changing point. Their leadership has changed. Their relationship with God is going to change. Moses had said to them, Remember how that these 40 years God brought you through the wilderness that he might prove you to know what was in your heart. They had learned an awful lot of things about themselves in that 40 years. And they'd also learned a lot of things about God. But in front of them is the great unknown. There is an uncertainty in their future. You have not passed this way before. That our futures are uncertain is a fact that does not need to be argued with sane people. It is only insanity that looks into crystal balls, at tarot cards, or Ouija boards to try to find out what's going to happen to them in the days to come. Those who go to the wizards and the witches that peep and mutter to try and find out what's going to take place in my life in the ensuing months. We don't know. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. The Bible says, go to now, you who say, well, tomorrow we'll do this and that. You had better say, if the Lord wills, tomorrow we will do this and that, because you do not know what a day brings forth. We recognize that's a fact. We don't have to argue. The future is uncertain for all of us. I don't know what might transpire in my life. Even this afternoon, there's an uncertainty about the future. But with uncertainty, with the unknown, there is always a fascination. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm anxious to know. I would like to take a peek into the future to see what it holds. And there is that curiosity of the future. That fascination. That's why we watch the news on television. We want to know what's new. I'm interested in what's new. I read the newspaper, and it's called that because it's telling you the things that are new, the things that are happening, and we're interested in those things. The fascination with the uncertainty. But with it, there's also the hope that somehow it's going to be better. tomorrow. It seems like hope springs eternal. You know, every year at the end of the season, the teams are always saying, next year, you know. Didn't quite do it this year, but next year. Well, it's now next year for the Rams. And we're all hoping that it'll be the Super Bowl this year, you know. But if it isn't, at the end of the season, towards January, they'll be saying next year. Next year. Because we're going to, you know, draft new players and we're going to rearrange things and we're going to fill in this area. And hopefully next year we're going to go all the way. And it seems like always with this unknown, there is the hope that it'll be better, the hope for improvement. It's interesting, Madison Avenue, understanding that we are interested in what is new and hoping for better, are always putting on our products new and improved. So you see the can of Old Dutch cleanser, it says new and improved. And always we're interested in an improvement. I want something new, and I want it to be improved. I'm hoping that it's better than it was. I'm hoping I'll be better than I was. Always hoping for something a little better. Not only is there a fascination with the unknown, but there is also a fear of the unknown. I don't know how high the mountains are that I must cross. I don't know how deep the valleys will be. I don't know if I'll have enough strength to ward off the enemies. I don't know how wide the river is or how swift the current. And many times our hearts become gripped with the unknown. I don't know what I am going to do. Things have changed drastically. Maybe there's been a death in the family. You've been depending on that person, and now they're gone. What am I going to do? And that fear of the unknown. I'm going into a new job, and I don't know, you know, will I be able to handle it? Will I be able to manage it? What will be the all of the parameters of this new job? And there is that fear of the unknown as I begin to go into new uncharted territory for me. It is interesting that Joshua was first told by God, don't fear. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. And then the men of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh, they came to him and said the same thing. Don't be afraid. Be strong. But there is that fear that is associated with the unknown. I don't know what's going to be happening. And there is that fear or reservation of that which I do not know. They knew something. They had heard stories. They heard that the cities had walls that were as high as heaven. They heard that the people that lived behind those walls were giants, that they were like grasshoppers in their sight. There are going to be some really tough times. Will we be able to manage it? Can we cope with it? We don't know. And the fear that is in their hearts of the unknown. And so with us. We look at the future. We don't know what the future holds. Will I be able to cope? Will I be able to manage? Will I have enough? And Joshua, standing before these people who were filled with the fascination and the fear of the future, said to them, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, God. And that's the thing that I need to hold in my mind. Tomorrow, God. You see, God has already gone before me. God is already there tomorrow. And these people who are fearing tomorrow, Joshua is telling them, tomorrow, God is going to do wonders in your eyes. I don't know about tomorrow. And many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And even if I am not equal with the problems that I will be facing tomorrow, it's important that I am living in that relationship with God, who is equal to handle whatever problem that I may face. So there are uncertainties about the future, but there are also certainties about the future. And one of the certainties about the future is yesterday. Before Moses had departed, he told the people in his final charge that they were to remember all the way that they had passed through that wilderness. Now Joshua is saying to them, you have not passed this way before. You have passed already many things. Remember those things that you have passed, Moses is saying. Joshua, now taking over the leadership, said, now you haven't passed this way before. However, the God that brought you past all of these things has gone before you, and if he has brought you through the past, he's going to take you through the future. So the certain thing about the future is that God will be there to be my strength and to be my guide and to be my help. There are so many things that I have learned about myself as I passed through the wilderness. I learned my weaknesses. You know, there was a time in my life when I sort of looked down at Peter for his weakness. The Lord had said to his disciples, tonight, all of you are going to be offended because of me. And Peter said, not me, Lord. They may be all of it, not me. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And Peter said, Lord, if they would slay me, I would never deny you. And then we know the story how he denied his Lord. And I was prone to throw rocks at Peter because he was boasting of something that he didn't have. You see, he thought he knew himself. I have thought that I knew myself. I thought there were places where I was strong. I've said to the Lord, Lord, I would never do that. But I did it. When the test came, I was weak. As Peter, I fell. I learned something about myself. I learned my areas of weakness, but oh, it's so important that I learn those areas of weakness because now I know the places to avoid. And if I have to face them, I know that I can't do it, but I know that God is able to help me. And so in those places of my weakness, I know I must there rely upon God and rest in God's strength. And for that reason, where I was weak, I am now strong. Because I know my weakness. You see, as long as I don't know my weakness, God can't work with it. As long as I'm saying, Lord, I would never do that, God can't deal with that problem in my life. God has to reveal to me my area of weakness and cause me to understand and realize I am weak. And then as I cry out to God out of my weakness, he's able to give me his strength. He's able to work with my weakness and give me the help that I need. But not only have I learned about myself as I've gone past these things, I've learned so much about God. I've learned that God is faithful. I've learned that God has a way when I thought there was no way. I've learned that when I came to that place, I said, this is the end. It's over. That's it. That God made a way. And I really still don't know quite how. But here I am. You know, I thought I wouldn't be here, but here I am. I thought I wouldn't be able to make it, but I did. And I discovered that God was able to make a way where there was no way. And that God is able to work and do marvelous things that I had not even thought of or considered. And so I've learned so much about God, and I've learned that God so often lets me get to that place of my extremities where I throw up my hands and say, it's all over, I can't do it, before he moves in and works. There is a saying, it's not a scripture, it should be, I don't know why someone didn't write this in the Bible. But the saying is, man's extremities are God's opportunities. When you come to the end of your resources, when you come to the end of your strength, when you come to the end of your abilities, that is the time that God so often moves in and then does his work. When you have given up. When you have ceased your struggle and your fight, you said, it's all over, I can't do it. And then is when God comes through and handles it. And I've learned that God was faithful and he did not let me fall. But he brought me through all of the tests. Yes, there is the Jordan River in front of me. Yes, it is flood time. And yes, we must cross that Jordan. But behind me, there is the Red Sea. And God who parted the Red Sea is able to part the Jordan. Yes, there are enemies in front of me. Yes, there are cities that need to be conquered. But there were enemies in the wilderness. And God who conquered my enemies in the wilderness will conquer my enemies in the land. You see, the certainty of tomorrow is God. He is there. He is there to help me. He is there to guide me. He is there to strengthen me. And so I look at the past and it gives me assurance for the future. For the past blessings of God upon my life are only guarantees of the future blessings. The past work of God in my life is a prophecy of the future work of God. The past deliverance of God is predicting the future deliverance of God. And so we realize that God who has been with us is the God who is with us now and the God who has gone before us. Sanctify yourself, God tomorrow will do great things, for he is there. He's gone before, and you can trust in him. He has brought you this far, not to leave you, but to take you all the way. And as the scripture says, God will perfect or complete that which concerneth you. And having begun a good work in you, he will continue to perform it until he has brought it forth in perfection. God's not going to let you go. God's not going to let you down. The God who brought you through the wilderness is going to take you in until you've conquered the land, until you've possessed the promises. And so though the future is uncertain and I might be fearful about some of those things that may befall me, I go with confidence because God is with me. He is by my side. He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Things are going to be changing for the children of Israel in a very radical way. Up to this time, every morning they could look up and see that cloud to see whether it was moving. God was leading them by the cloud. At night, they watched the fire. Every night, the fire in the sky. And God led them by the cloud and by the fire. But tomorrow, you're not going to see the cloud. Nor will you ever see the cloud or the fire again. Now the priest will be going before you, bearing the Ark of the Covenant, and you're to watch them, and you're to stay at a distance of 2,000 cubits in order that you might see the way that you are to go. And now they're to be led by the Ark of the Covenant. They'd had the Ark of the Covenant. It was something of the past, but now they're going to have a new relationship to it. They're going to be following the Ark of the Covenant instead of the cloud. The manna that you have gathered every morning on the ground, it's not going to be here tomorrow. Tomorrow you're going to cross in and you're going to start eating of the fruit of the new land. The manna is over. The cloud and the fire are over. These experiences, exciting experiences of God's presence are not going to be there. It's going to be more of a walk of faith. When you come to the Jordan, the water is not going to part in front of you. The priests are going to have to step into the water. And as they stand in the water bearing the Ark of the Covenant, then God will stop the water. But it's going to be a step of faith. You're going to have to step in the water. Your feet are going to get wet. Oh, I don't like that. I like God to move in front of me far enough that I can see all the way and just cruise. I don't like it when God says, okay, now you just stand and wait for me to work. You just wait there in the water. Your feet are wet, and you're saying, God, are you sure, you know, that I'm doing the right thing? Are you sure this is where you, are you sure that this is what you said, Lord, you know? And I'm hesitant because I want God to be more manifest in his ways with me rather than walking by faith. But God wants to bring you into a deeper relationship where you walk by faith and not by sight. You're trusting in him. Trusting that he will guide, trusting that he will provide, trusting that he will take care of you. You've not passed this way before. You're entering into a new relationship, a new dimension, a new depth of experience with God. But you know what? If you have it in the right perspective, if you realize that God is there and it is God that is leading you into this new dimension, you'll be so excited just wondering, what does God have next? You know, I can hardly wait to wake up in the morning just to see what God has in store for this day. To see what God has planned for today is always to me such an exciting thing. Just day by day to see what new grace God is going to unfold over my heart and over my life as I walk into the uncertainty of the future. There is a certainty within my heart. God is with me, guiding me all the way, working out his plan in my life, because I surrendered my life to him and I've asked him to do it. God said, Moses, my servant is dead. Arise, go over the Jordan. In Hebrews, we read that Moses led them out of Egypt, but he could not lead them into the land. We read that Joshua led them into the land, but he could not lead them into the rest. But that Jesus has led us into the rest. That rest of faith, trusting in him. He has done for us what Moses could not do for the people, what Joshua even could not do for the people. Though they conquered so much territory in the time of Joshua, yet they never conquered it all. They never came into the rest, but Jesus leads us into the rest. That rest of just commitment of our ways and our future unto him. I am at rest. I'm at peace. Come what may, the Lord is there. The Lord is with me. The Lord will be with me. He will help me. He will see me through. I rest in him. I need not fear the future. God is there. He will see me through. If we could see beyond today as God does see, then all of our tears we would wipe away and our sorrows would flee. Over these present griefs we wouldn't fret. Each sorrow we would soon forget, for there are many joys that are waiting yet for you and for me. If we could see, if we could know, we often say, but God in love a veil does throw across our way. We cannot see what lies before. And so we cling to him the more. He'll lead us till our life is o'er. Just trust and obey. I can't see tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that God holds tomorrow. And God holds me. And he's working out his eternal plan in my life. And that he is plan to bring me safely into his eternal kingdom, that he might bestow upon me the joys and the blessings of his eternal love, and that through the ages to come God shall be revealing to me the exceeding richness of his love and mercy towards me in Christ Jesus. And thus, that's all I need to know. He's there. He'll keep me, because he was there and he did keep me. He has brought me this far. He'll take me all the way. My trust, my confidence is in him. I rest in him today. How about you? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the hope that springs out of the past faithfulness of God to each of us. And now, Lord, may we find security and peace in Jesus, who has promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. And may we experience his presence, his love, his power as we walk our pilgrim pathway. In his name we pray. Amen. May the Lord be with you this afternoon, tomorrow, this week, and the days to come as God continues his eternal work of bringing you safely home until that day where we stand with him in Christ complete, rejoicing in the God who loves us with an eternal love, who has brought us safely through. God bless you. Keep you in his love and grace in Jesus' name.